listeners, before we get to this episode of Problem Solvers, here is a word from our sponsor.
Problem Solvers is brought to you by JustWorks. JustWorks is here to support the small business superheroes working hard to protect their companies and take care of their teams. With simple software and expert support for payroll, benefits, compliance, and HR, JustWorks takes some of the guesswork out of running a business, in good times and bad. They are here to help you do it all with seamless tools for managing remote teams and round-the-clock support for you and your team. During these challenging times, we are all in this together. Learn more at justworks.com/problem solvers.
And now, on with the show.
From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Remember when normal rules of business felt like they applied? Like, you didn't have to worry about whether or not it was appropriate to do basic things like, I don't know, this?
So I do a great deal of cold pitching through email.
Cold pitching, a perfectly normal, great way to get business. That, by the way, is Dwania Wilkerson. She's the founder of a company called Prose and Pens. It's a content writing company. And when coronavirus started changing everybody's business and budgets, like many people, Dwania wasn't exactly sure what to do next.
It just made me think, you know, have a second thought about whether it was appropriate to pitch or not, especially with so many businesses shutting down operations, at least on some level. I do want to continue operating my business, but I also want to be sensitive to the climate.
It's such a good and common question. I've actually gotten quite a number of people who have reached out with some version of the same thing. I mean, in normal times, you're in sales mode. You're going out and you have a great service or a product and you believe in it and you believe it's going to provide value and you're looking to strike a deal, to make a sale. And now it feels like, can you do that? I mean, with everyone who has these super tight budgets and they're not sure what is going to happen with their business, can they afford you? Do they need you? Do they want to hear from you? Is it appropriate to reach out to anybody about anything except basically coronavirus? These are tough. They're tough questions. And they're the kinds of new normal questions that I think we're all going to be wrestling with as we figure out what are the new rules of business? How do we serve others? How do we interact with others? And how do we transition a world in which we understood exactly what our role was into a new world where we feel maybe less certain of what our role is? And that is why I loved Dwania's question so much. And it's the reason why I wanted to give her and you a really thoughtful, robust answer. And I'm not going to do that just by myself. I brought in this guy.
Everyone has to have a little bit of discomfort here, because if we don't, what we're going to do is we're going to revert to what we know. And if we revert to what we know in times that of all things not being equal, we're unlikely to get the desired results that we want.
That is Adam Bornstein. He is one of the smartest guys I know in business. He's also an old friend of mine. He's the co-founder of Pen Name Consulting. It's a consulting firm who has worked with massive brands, Tim Ferriss, Microsoft, Dollar Shave Club. And also, you might recognize his name because he writes a column called What's Your Problem in Entrepreneur Magazine. And Adam's whole thing is about understanding the consumer and building a relationship with them, being where they need you and understanding where that is, like opening real dialogue. And I knew that he would take that perspective with Dwania. And, I'll give you a little bit of a spoiler for the conversation that's about to follow. Yes, Adam says, yes, you can send cold pitches during this time. You can reach out. In fact, and he will make the compelling argument for this in just a minute or two, you should, because you have a lot of value to offer somebody. The question is, how do you talk about it? How do you make the approach? How do you understand what somebody needs right now? Yes, you can still pitch, but you have to pitch in this environment. and you have to be aware of what people's needs are right now. And so here's what's coming. Adam, Duenia, and I had a long conversation. I taped it, and I'm going to play it for you. So it feels almost like you're dropping in on a mentoring session, a consulting session with somebody as high level as Adam, who's talking Duenia and everybody else in her situation through what it means to present yourself and to pitch yourself right now. I found it to be extremely uplifting because it means that, listen, doors are not shut. It's just that they open a little differently, or whatever the metaphor is. You could still do your business. You, in fact, should. People need you. They need you and your services. You're just going to have a different conversation than you had before. So, okay, how to pitch, how to communicate in this time. That is what we're diving into with Adam Bornstein and Duenia Wilkerson, and we're doing it right after the break. Problem Solvers is brought to you by JustWorks. JustWorks is here to support the small business superheroes working hard to protect their companies and take care of their teams. With simple software and expert support for payroll, benefits, compliance, and HR, JustWorks takes some of the guesswork out of running a business in good times and bad. They know that small business leaders wear many hats, and they're here to help you do it all. With JustWorks, you get seamless tools for managing remote teams and navigating new legislation. This includes scheduling, tracking, and staying compliant with new leave requirements from day one. JustWorks' dedicated team of certified HR consultants can help you navigate the ins and outs of managing remote teams in these challenging times. And should you or your team ever have any questions about your benefits or payroll, you can just call JustWorks anytime. Really, anytime. 11 p.m. on a Sunday, round-the-clock support is standing by. JustWorks is here for those who do it all. Learn more at justworks.com/problem solvers. Again, that is justworks.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. So, like I said, we are talking with Duenia Wilkerson, founder of Pros and Pens, and Adam Bornstein, co-founder of Pen Name Consulting. Yes, two companies that both have the word pen in them. That was totally unintentional. And when we brought them together, the very first thing that I did was ask Duenia to explain what her discomfort was. And what she said was what you heard in the beginning of the episode here. She's afraid of seeming insensitive to the moment that she's reaching out to these potential clients. And in pitching herself, she worries that she's ignoring this gigantic, earth-shattering thing that's going on, because here she is just pitching her content writing business. And Adam, when it was his turn to talk after that, did, of course, what a consultant does, which is before he answered anything, he asked her this.
I would start with, what does your normal interaction look like?
You know, pre-coronavirus, old world, when everything was normal, what was Duenia actually doing? What was the outreach like? It's a really good base point. So let's hear.
I like to include just as much as possible as I can.
That means a lot of information about her and her services, but also very critically, her thoughts on how she can help this client.
So a lot of research has gone into it beforehand. So I like to let whoever is reading know that this isn't random at all. This was very targeted. I know some things about you, and I know I've learned a great deal about your business. And so I include that in maybe three sentences. And then I go into how I feel like I can help. And though I have been advised against this quite a few times, I always include a short custom piece of content for the business that I am emailing.
The good news here, I think the best news is you're doing so many things right that I think people often fumble on the way of cold pitching. So like all these things of customization, doing your research, speaking to the person directly, like the 101s are, if you're going to cold contact someone, make sure you know your audience. Rule number one, I think, for really any business is know your audience. And in your line of business, the audience is always going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So showing that you went the extra mile means something. And I would say in this time right now, more than ever, the greatest trait anyone can have is to be a human. And what does that mean? To be a human to me is to show empathy, to show care, and to try and help people out. And I would say that you are in a position of power right now because your model doesn't have to change. The first thing I might suggest for a lot of people who their business is built on cold pitches is you have to get into the mode of giving a little bit more, because we are in a time where people might not be able to give back, but business is always built on the long game. And sometimes they're going to have to make short-term sacrifices in order to win the long game. We all have to eat. We all have to feed our employees. But sometimes if you really want your business to survive, it's a matter of, can we cultivate relationships in the here and the now for a longer term when things are better, and hope that enough of those relationships will result in some short-term wins that can keep you afloat. And the beauty of what you do right now that doesn't require any change, and it's to your naysayers, is that you already give something. And right now, the idea of a stranger reaching out and saying, I thought you could use this, is one of the kindest things that you could do.
Sorry, I just have to cut in to say how much I love what Adam just said there. Reaching out and providing something can be of tremendous value. I think we are sometimes very afraid to promote ourselves, to pitch ourselves, because we feel like it's some kind of imposition on people. But if you reframe it, if you think of something that you are presenting to people as extreme value, you are reaching out because you have something really valuable and they need it. Their lives will be better for it. Well, then you're not apologetic about that. You want to be helpful. That's the reason you're in business. So go out there and get it. And this is a perfect reminder that even though we are in a pandemic, you still have lots of value. Okay, back to Adam. And by the way, I apologize for the clicking sound. I don't know. Somebody must have been taking notes on this call, which is good because there were so many great things to take notes on. But anyway, you'll hear some kind of typing throughout.
I might reconsider how you frame the pitch. So it's less of a sell and more of a, I do this for a living. I'm trying to help out with businesses, because that's essentially what you do. You help businesses do what they do better. Whether we are in pandemic or not, you have true value. That is why you exist. And you're going to give these people this content anywhere. So instead of it being a sell, it is, you know what, this is what I do for a living. And I created this and I thought it could help you in this specific way. If you'd like, I'd love to jump on a phone call with you to understand if I really understood your business and how you might want to modify it and then apply it. And at the very least, I would be very surprised if you don't get an email back thanking you or jump on a call. Will it lead to business or not? Maybe, and we can discuss that a little bit more. But I think in times of crisis, in times of pandemic, in times of hurt, reaching out and offering to help is the most powerful thing you can do. And it's likely to give you a better chance of landing business than if you do nothing. Because the biggest concern I have with anyone right now is that everyone has to modify. Cash becomes king in times of pandemic. We have to be very, very smart with not only what cash is outgoing, but also how we hold on to it so that we can survive and understand the climate to better know how we need to adjust, whether it's adjusting how we outreach, whether it's adjusting what we charge people, which sometimes you might have to change a little bit. But more than anything, if you stop everything, you stop everything. I always say that, like, I really don't believe in right choices or wrong choices. People are obsessed by this. The only wrong choice to me is complete inaction, because the only way the economy turns around, the other only way that businesses still thrive is for them to adjust and help one another so that everyone can continue making money. Because if you're not helping out businesses, that business isn't making money the way that it wants to, and then you're not making money, and then you can't go and help out other businesses. And it's this chain effect where we have to be mindful. We really have to be empathetic. We have to be human, but we can't move into inaction out of fear, because no one wants their business to die.
Thank you. I completely appreciate you saying that I'm doing something right. I do have one other question about the emails. Do you acknowledge, do you lead with in light of what's happening, or do I include some line to at least acknowledge that things are a little bit different right now before going through with the rest of the pitch?
It's one of those things that I think people who act like this isn't happening almost comes across as insensitive. Okay. If the whole point of being human is to recognize that we're all in this together. And like, there are no hard feelings if you don't do it. Listen, everyone is struggling. There are very, very few businesses that are not feeling this directly. I would argue probably that none are. Some benefit from it. Obviously, video conferencing like this. The beanie industry is clearly taking off for me, because it's the way I take all of my calls now. I should probably double down on showering more.
Side note, Adam totally looked like he rolled out of bed during this Zoom call. But you know what? Whatever. I hadn't showered either and I was wearing pajama pants. So it's okay.
But, you know, it's one of those things that if you start with that, it is humanizing. But the question is how quickly you pivot to make it feel like it's not your typical sales caller. And to the point of you customize everything. If the beginning of the email, if the outreach just feels like it was written by a robot, that it could be written to anyone, you might lose right off the bat. I, like Jason, come from an editorial background. And we always say like the lead is so important, probably more important than ever because our attention spans are so short. And in times of crisis, we have even less time than ever to open an email from a random person. And if the first line or two feels like it could have been written to anyone, you might not even get to the point where people understand that you're being a human, you're actually trying to help. So I don't think that you should avoid it because that does feel not human. But I do think that it will take probably more time and consideration in the same vein of what you already do of how do people know that this is custom? How do people know that this is real? And how do they know that there's true value? And that's going to be where you leverage your research. If you truly are doing a great job of researching, you can probably unearth something that will speak to them for them to know that this isn't just a cold email. There was time put behind it. And that's what it gets people to read. It's like any good headline, like any good lead, like any good sentence or two. Don't run the risk of playing it safe and making it almost ubiquitous. Be more specific. Lean into what makes you good at what you do, what makes your type of pitching so effective. That's what made this so interesting to me, is that your business thrives on cold pitching. Mm-hmm. So more than ever, you're not having to change your business model. And this is a powerful thing for anyone. The less that you have to change your entire business model, and the more that you are able to adjust the specific tactics and messaging to the times, the more likely you are going to feel like you are in your comfort zone and you're going to be able to help people. And I think it's a great lesson for anyone that if you feel you're changing up everything, you're probably overreacting. It's probably an over-adjustment. You want to see the smallest tiny change. And then if that's not working, you adjust. So you might want to play around with a couple different formats of when you mention what's going on or how you mention it and see how that plays in. What we are essentially doing is, you have a very manual business, but we're going to take a tech term and we're going to split test your approach. You should take some of your leads and you should decide, I'm going to take two or three different approaches given these times, because right now the rule book is kind of tossed out. You know what you do from a business standpoint, but how you're going to pitch people, the most important thing is we don't know how long this is going to last. Is it 2 weeks? Is it 6 months? None of us know. That's what makes all of this so scary and so intimidating. So the best thing that you could be doing right now is not only connecting with people more than ever because people need the connection, offering to help people because people need more help than ever. But the third part for you specifically is, what are you learning from your outreach? Can you essentially systematize and create three different ways of outreach and then go out to maybe five leads each and then see what happens? Then ask yourself, what happened and why? So that you can start optimizing what you do during these times. And the silver lining to all of this, and this is straight up, Ryan Holiday, who writes about stoicism, he's got many books out there. One of his books that I love is called The Obstacle is the Way. And it's the idea is that these challenges help give us more clarity if you see it as an opportunity to focus that will improve us when we get to the other side of it. And what you might find is the systems that you create in these times are going to help you message even more effectively when these barriers are removed.
I'm going to be honest. The idea of split testing terrifies me. Because I feel like, let's just say I'm working with three segments, three different tests, and one of them does well. And I'm like, okay, these other two, that was a missed opportunity. But maybe then that just has to do with fine-tuning my follow-up.
Here's what I'll say. What's important to remember is with any test, there is no such thing as a perfect test. Right. There are always going to be variables that you could look at and say, you know what, maybe this is the reason why. So when I look at split testing, I look at it as it's built on this idea of science itself. And science is a matter of asking questions, getting an answer, and coming up with a new question. Is there risk in asking questions? Yes, but there's also risk in not doing, and there's much more risk in not knowing. The greatest threat to any business is not knowing what makes it successful. You know what you do great, but you don't necessarily know how to unlock that messaging. So it goes back to what I said before, do it within a space where you feel comfortable. But everyone has to have a little bit of discomfort here, because if we don't, what we're going to do is we're going to revert to what we know. And if we revert to what we know in times that of all things not being equal, we're unlikely to get the desired results that we want. So find that space, realize that there's going to be variables. And yeah, it could be that your services was just better for her particular client. It could be the person that you reached out to was more liquid and had the money to spend, where the other person, their business was hit harder. But these are some of the fundamental questions that you ask yourself. So again, much the same standpoint that you don't need to completely reinvent your business. You don't want to make too many assumptions. Every single split test isn't about overreacting. It's about allowing yourself to ask yourself another question, and that question will lead to another question. And if nothing else, it means that you are thinking of the best ways to communicate with your clients, the best ways to position what you do, or as you even said, the best way to follow up. Like, that's a tremendous insight. Your split test could even be your follow-up. It doesn't have to be the outreach. All I would recommend it at this time is don't leave yourself vulnerable to not have some sort of insight or hypothesis about why what you are doing is working or how the changes you are making are having an impact on your business.
Adam, I wonder if you would endorse or push back against a modification to split testing if Duane isn't comfortable enough with it, which is just continue to evolve the message and the process along the way. Something that I have found, for example, I'm not in a position of generally cold pitching myself because it's just not the kind of business that I'm in, but I have experimented in this interesting way with when people connect with me on LinkedIn, which they always do. I want to try to use that connection to convert them to something. And I've tried to figure out what it is. Do I convert them to be a follower of my newsletter, a listener of my podcast? What do I do? And so I wrote this message that I send to people once they send me a connection and I approve it. And I wrote it and I just said the same thing over and over and over and over again. And then I realized, you know what, maybe I should change this a little bit. So I changed it and I saw what the response was because I'm using a Bitly link, so I'm able to see who's converting. And then I just kept changing it. So I push myself. I don't A/B test it. It's a little too complicated for this purpose. But what I'm doing is thinking, okay, every 2 or 3 weeks, let's make some modification to this. And then let's see if it impacts the numbers. And that way, I'm just not locking myself into doing something the same way, but I'm pushing myself to constantly rethink, am I at the perfect place or is there more to go? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the same thing as an A/B test, because ultimately your first iteration of what you sent is your A and your later iteration is a B and then a C and right. A D. And that's why I said, I think people anchor to a concept and we almost interpret it too specifically. And Duania, my best advice to you is don't get locked into there being one way to do this. I will be the first person to tell you that I don't have all the answers. My answer is to adjust, but not so much that you put yourself out of your comfort zone. My answer is to ask questions so that you can learn. My answer is that from those learnings, ask new questions so that you can continue to evolve. And whether it is testing within like 1 week, whether it's doing one thing for 2 weeks and see how it goes, and then maybe slightly modifying, just as Jason had suggested, is a beautiful thing, because I think one of the fallacies is that just because something is working or even isn't working, we just assume it's the only way. We have patterns and behaviors and tactics that we set up, and growth comes by, I think, challenging assumptions. And the best thing that you did in this entire call, which I loved, which shows me as you as a leader, is you even challenged my assumption, which is a beautiful thing. You're going to get a lot of advice right now, a lot of it. No one knows how to run your business better than you. No one. No one knows the greatest value that you take. So take some of these tactics and push it through your own lens. Don't necessarily shoot them down, but it's a good thing to challenge them, because like that's why you run this business.
As we wrap the call up, I asked Duania if this had addressed a lot of her concerns. And she said, yeah, she at first, you know, coming into this call, had been very afraid of seeming pushy, something that she would never want to do with her clients. She wants to seem helpful, not pushy. And given the circumstances, is any kind of outreach a somewhat unwelcome outreach? But it got her thinking, this is really about different outreach, not no outreach.
Adam has helped me to, now that I'm thinking about it, how to reframe my offer, so to speak, because a great deal of the businesses that I have on the list to pitch, they are still operating fully online. And so even with that being so, there's a need for content. There's probably even more of a need for quality content.
I would agree with that. You know, coronavirus has put us all in front of our devices basically all the time. We are all massive content consumers right now. We need information, good, clear information, professionally produced information. I would say that there is a large opportunity for Duane right now. There's a large opportunity for so many people right now just about starting that conversation. So thank you again so much to Duane Wilkerson of Prose and Pens. If you are looking for content, proseandpens.com is where you can find her. And of course, thank you so much to my friend Adam Borenstein, Entrepreneur Magazine columnist, Pen Name Consulting co-founder, and also didn't mention it before, but he also runs with his brother Jordan a truly amazing multi-day entrepreneurship experience called 212. I have served as a mentor there for 3 of the 4 years that they've been running it, and was really looking forward to it this year, but I am sure I will be back. I cannot wait. So you could check that out too. That's 212.io. Anyway, thank you so much to both of them, and I hope that this has inspired you to go out and provide that value.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.